of life, and we ought to be grateful for that. Another opportunity that God has extended to us that we could once again be gathered together in a fashion like this to worship Him in spirit and truth. It's always good to be with those of like precious faith. I look forward to our time together, and I'm happy to be with you. Again, thankful for those who are visiting with us. We have visitors that are among us, and we thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. Our standard is the Word of God. So in keeping with that, I'm not going to share with you what I think about the matter, what I feel about it, or what my opinion is, but what the Bible says. And I'll do my very best to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I share with you today. And I encourage you to take a Bible out and follow along with me. Take any notes that you'd like to take. Pick up a sermon outline in the back. And hopefully if you already have that, you've not took a sneak peek at it and that you've not read ahead. And so, but that's okay if you did. I want us to talk about, for a little while, what God does not know. Now, you may have thought as you looked at the board, well, surely He just miswrote that. I mean, just a few months ago, I think it was back in August, our preacher shared a lesson with us, you may be saying. You shared with this preacher a lesson on all the things that God does know. And you shared with us in that sermon how that there's really not anything that God does not know. And now you're going to talk about what God does not know. And so surely you just miswrote that. Well, I didn't miswrite it. I want us to think about what God does not know. If I were to ask you this morning, is there anything that God doesn't know? Well, you may just give me an awkward look. That may just stun you. It may just surprise you that I would ask you that. And you may say, well, preacher, there's absolutely nothing that God doesn't know. Well, I agree with you that God knows all. And we've talked about that, I think, as I look back on the website, that was back in August, that I did a lesson on what God knows. But I do want us to look briefly at five things I want to point out to you that God does not know. And you may say, preacher, I'd like to hear you harmonize that. Well, you got your pen out, you ready to take some notes, and maybe you got your Bible out, I hope you do, as we think about some things that God does not know. What would you put on your list? Can you think of some things God does not know? Let's think about five things, and there are other things you could add to a sermon like this and study about some things perhaps that God does not know. The first one that I want you to think about is that God does not know one place He cannot go. Think of that. Not one place that God cannot go. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 139. This was recently in one of our brethren's lessons. We won't spend much time here. He did a good job in pointing out the fact of what this text talks about in Psalm 139 and verse 7 beginning. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Now, these are questions that we need to think about. He's asking, well, is there any place? To ask it is to answer it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where can we go that God isn't there? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God does not know a place He cannot go. You get the point? I think about the passage over in 1 Kings chapter 8 and then verse 27. Turn over there with me and notice what the Bible says. 1 Kings chapter 8 and then verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? And watch what he states, this statement that he makes. Behold, the heaven of heavens, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built it? You ever heard the statement, God is everywhere? God sees all, He knows all, and the list goes on and on. God does not know a place He cannot go. But I want to share with you another thing that God doesn't know. God does not know one heart that He cannot know. Let me say that again. God does not know one heart that He cannot know. God knows the hearts of each and every one of us this morning. He knows why you're here. He knows what makes you tick. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart and your disposition, your character. Like in Psalm 44 and in verse 21. Psalm 44 and in verse 21, the Bible says, "Shall not God search this out? For God knoweth the secrets of the heart." Over in the book of Luke, chapter 16, as the Lord is talking to some individuals upon this particular occasion, He says in Luke 16, verse 15, "And He said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." You know, there may be things that we keep secret from others, but guess what? God knows. "Well, I've got thoughts that others don't know about." Well, that may be the case. You may be thinking something this morning. Of course, no one else knows what you're thinking, but guess who does? God. He knows the hearts. I think about the passage over in Acts 1 when, of course, Judas by this time had, by his transgression, by his sin and disobedience and the actions that he took, he had fell from the apostleship and went to his own place. And now it came time that there was going to be another apostle that was going to be selected. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 23, they appointed two men that they selected, that of those two, was one of them was going to be chosen by the Lord to take the place of Judas. The Bible says, verse 23, they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, now watch what they said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen." And they go on to talk about that He may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. They gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. But notice again, "Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men." You see that point? What does God not know? God does not know one heart that He cannot know. He knows all our hearts. Again, Acts 15, verse 8 be another good reference for that. But as we think about what God does not know, I want to impress upon our minds this morning that there is not one deed that He does not see. God does not know of one deed that He cannot see. A lot of folks do a lot of things under the cover of night. You ever take and wonder why individuals on Friday night and Saturday night, when it gets dark, why some of these places locally and beyond get crowded, some of these bars and hangouts and so forth? Because people have the thinking, if I go there when it's dark, then no one will see. No one will know that I was there. Well, that may be the case so far as you're keeping things from your family and from your neighbors and from your employer and from other people that you know. But guess what? There's not a deed that one may do that God does not know about. There is not one deed that goes unseen. God doesn't know a deed that He cannot know about. You see that point? Like in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked." That word naked means open and bare. Unclothed. To see all. "But all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Again, I take you to the Old Testament and get you to notice what is stated in Job 34 and in verse 21. Elihu, one of Job's friends, stated, "For His eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Don't be deceived into thinking there's places that I can go that God cannot see. He'll know. He'll see it. What does God not know? He does not know one deed that he cannot see. Number four. So we think about what God does not know. God knows everything, doesn't he? But think of this. God does not know of one repented of sin that he cannot forgive. Sometimes individuals think, there's no way that God will ever forgive me of A, B, C, X, Y, Z, this, that, or the other. I've done things that are just so bad that there's no way that I see that God would ever forgive me. Guess what? God doesn't know one sin that you can repent of and turn to Him that He will not forgive. Are you willing to turn? If you are, God is willing to pardon and forgive if you'll obey. There's bad things that individuals do. I've done bad things too. And you may say, well, preacher, that wasn't bad as compared to what I've done. Well, maybe not. Or you may say, preacher, that's pretty bad in comparison to what I've done. Maybe it is. But there's not one thing that I could have ever done in my life or ever will do that God will not forgive if I'll turn from it and obey Him and come back to Him. Can you think of one? I think about Paul. I think about a host of people in the Bible who did very bad things. Sinful people. Did things contrary to what God would have them to do. But guess what? God forgave when they turned to Him. In Acts 3, verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To repent means to turn. Doesn't mean to be sorry for what you did. A lot of people are sorry that they got caught. They're sorry for what they did, but they don't turn from what they did. They don't stop doing what they're doing. Matthew 21 is a good example of that. The man who had two sons. And he said to the first, go work today in my vineyard. He said, no, but afterward he repented and went. That is, he changed his mind about what he told his father, and he did what he had said that he wouldn't do. He turned from it. He repented, the Bible says. In Acts 17, verse 30, God once winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth every man, all men everywhere, to repent. That means we stop doing wrong and do that which is right. So if you're here this morning, and you never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can repent of those things. Repent of your sinful life and your life of rebellion against God. God will forgive you as you obey the gospel. Read the board. What God does not know. He does not know one repented of sin that He will not forgive. Last point. So we think about what God does not know. I'm here to tell us this morning that God does not know one sinner He will not save. You may be here this morning a sinner. You may not be a Christian. You may not be in the family of God, a child of God. You may not be on the straight and narrow that leads unto life everlasting that the Lord points out in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You may be on the broad road that leads to destruction where many are going. But you don't have to stay on that road. You can come off the broad and onto the narrow and have life everlasting if you'll obey the gospel. In 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 1 Timothy 2, 4, talking about God, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You know what God's power to salvation is? God could have used any means that He had wanted to. You see, in the religious divided world that we live in, so many people today say, well, you have to wait until you get some feeling. You have to wait on some direct operation of the Holy Spirit on your heart to pull and to tug you, to lead you to come to God. The Bible doesn't teach that. You're waiting on something like that, you'll never obey because it never happened. The Bible doesn't say that. All that the Holy Spirit accomplishes in the conversion of men is through the instrumentality of the Word of God. In Romans 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Now watch this. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You've got to hear the gospel. Will you believe it and obey it? We've talked about five things that God does not know. That may have taken you in a direction you didn't even think about before the sermon. You pick up an outline, add to it. There's other things you could talk about. God does not know one church that does not belong to Him. And so forth and so on. The list goes on. But should you be in the audience this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're on the outside of Christ. I want to kindly but firmly tell you that if you die outside of the Lord, that heaven will not be your home. You say, "Preacher, if I missed heaven, I've missed it all." I understand what people mean by that. But folks, heaven is not the only place that one can go. So watch that statement, "You've missed it all." I understand, again, what folks mean. But you don't go to heaven, guess what? Hell will be your eternal home. And we don't want you to go there. And surely you don't want that for yourself. God doesn't want that for you. You've made every provision for your salvation through the sending of His Son, John 3:16, the revealing of His Word, the Bible, whereby when you read, you can understand, Ephesians 3, 3-5. You've got to obey. You may say, "Preacher, how do I become a Christian?" By doing exactly what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. It never changed. And don't let everyone deceive you into thinking that you can do something that you don't read about in the Bible and somehow you're a Christian. That won't work. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting, we've talked about that. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3 and 5, confessing your faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Maybe you have done that, but you've since turned your back on the Lord, you've not been faithful as you should. You want to be restored, you want to come home so that you can go to heaven when life is over. Repent of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. He'll forgive you, 1 John 1:9. Don't delay, come just as you are, as we stand and sing.